baptized today. As much as we celebrate with everyone what's going on and what baptism is today, I think we should be also reminded today what this is all about. Baptism is, if you will, a signpost. A signpost is not so much important in itself as much as it signs or points to some direction, points to something that is bigger than the post itself. And that is what baptism is all about. It shows a reality that's bigger than the ceremony in itself. And I thought this morning, as we prepare to watch 12 of our young folks to be baptized, to give us some short, brief explanation of what baptism is all about. Maybe you are here to celebrate this or watch this for a very first time. So here, this is what baptism is all about. The backdrop, or the canvas, if you will, for baptism is salvation. And I will throw at you several words that are typical biblical words and churchy words that might not mean a lot to some of you, but I will try my best to explain them to know what this is all about. So this is what the backdrop of salvation is, of baptism is. The Bible tells us pretty clear that we're all born into a dysfunctional family, a dysfunctional human family. And with that, I do not mean your family particular in which you were born into, but the family that we are born into as human beings. The first pages of the Bible set the scene. God creates heaven and earth, including humankind. And the purpose of creation is to celebrate God, to celebrate what He has done, and to worship Him and to love Him forever. However, doubts were sown into the minds of the early people who lived in what we call, or the Bible calls, Garden Eden. Doubts were sown whether God was withholding something from them. Because He had a tree planted in that garden, that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they were not supposed to eat from that. So there were doubts creeping up. The Bible tells us that the devil, in the form of a snake, came up. It's symbolic language, and try to intrigue people to think about, is there anything that God is withholding from us? So sure enough, He got people to eat from that tree, because the thought was there, yes, God is withholding something from us that we need to know. So they ate from it. And they also reaped the consequences of that. Mankind lives since then in rebellion against God, active or less active rebellion. Sin is what the Bible calls the consequence of not obeying God. Sin is not letting God be God. Sin has to do with not allowing God to be Lord over my life. I want to call the shots. I'm the one who is in charge. The Bible calls it this way. Paul argues in one of his letters very wordy that this is the condition what we are in. He says, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. And that's a very blanket statement, but he said that's when we are born into this dysfunctional family, that's the state in which we all find ourselves. In our hearts, we are rebellious. We don't like the idea of God being ruling over us. We don't like the idea of God or being responsible to God for our deeds and for our actions. We are in charge of ourselves and we build our little kingdoms. And those kingdoms clash because we build our own little kingdoms and you build your little kingdom and you build your little kingdom and we all have our wishes and our desires. And as we are trying to expand our kingdoms, we will clash with others who build their kingdoms as well. In the early pages of the Bible, the first action that happened after people were thrown out of the fellowship with God is murder. One brother murdered his older brother. And that's what defines us since then. People born with a rebellious heart. People who don't want God to be God. And I guess it takes just a quick look around us into the news to know where this has led us. if all fight for ourselves, if there's no what we all call for, what the world calls for, peace, love, but it's not there. It is not to be found. It is hard even to live this out in your workplaces and sometimes even in your families. However, the good thing is that the Bible doesn't stop there, but it's just the beginning, that God took the initiative to send help. Because there is no way for us as human beings to get out of our dysfunction, to change that, to change, if you will, our DNA. We have no way of doing it ourselves. God is the one who took the initiative. And you may ask, why? Here's the next biblical word that is used very often, grace. God has done this out of his own will. Not asking us, not negotiating with us. It's not us coming to him and say, God, we need you to do something here. It's something bad. God did it on his own initiative, to take steps to help us out of our misery. And that's what the word, the Bible calls grace. Undeserved. Not even asked for. Again, we asked Apostle Paul to say something about it. He says, but God, so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life. When he raised Christ from the dead, it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. God came onto this earth in Jesus Christ. And grace has a name. It is Jesus. It was a person who lived on this earth, who did what the Father wanted him to do, who was obedient to his Father, who always did what the Father wanted. However, this led him to a death on the cross. And he took our place to do what we couldn't do so that he could pay for the sins that we have accumulated on our account. Jesus died on the cross. Not too long ago, there was Easter. We celebrated this life-changing event, this world-changing event, that Jesus died on the cross and that he rose from the dead. So you may ask, so that's nice. This is wonderful. God did something. How do I get access to this? How can I access into this new life? How can I be changed? And here's another biblical word. It is faith. It is by faith that we access the gifts that God has given us. It is relying on the fact that what God has done in Jesus has truly dealt with my situation. It is trusting that God, for what he has done and what he has said, that this is enough. Trusting that what God offers to me, and then I'm acting on it. Again, this is what the Bible highlights. For grace, or for by grace you have been saved through faith. And is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Your life can change by reaching out to Jesus. Because Jesus reached out to you. Way before you even thought of him. Way before we even have considered him. Way before we even have considered our own state before God. He reached out to you. And now the offer stands. You can reach out to him by faith. And trust in the words that he has spoken over you. That you will be forgiven if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. It's so simple, isn't it? No hoops. No big ceremonies, no big things to be done and some rules to follow. Just simply put your trust in Jesus and to come to him with all that you have and say, Jesus, I trust in you. I cannot change my life. I cannot change my situation. But I want to have this kind of life that you are bringing. And there is another word that is connected with this process. And that is the word repentance. This is the attitude with which we come into the presence of God. We come with the attitude of regretting what we have done, to realizing what we have done, to realize that who I am is not enough to measure up to the standards of God. That's what the Bible calls repentance. But repentance is more than that. It's not just an emotional feeling. Repentance actually means change of mind. That I change my thinking. That I turn around what I thought before is now changed, and I turn my attention entirely to Jesus Christ and what He has done. When the early disciples practiced the first time baptism, this is what they said. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I come to Jesus fully aware of who I am and who He is. And I put my trust in Him and I tell Him, "God, who I am is not enough before You. You have done everything that I need. So I just follow You and I want to surrender myself to You." Paul says in a different context in the book of Romans the following. He said, "Do not be conformed to the present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you test and approve what is the will of God." The word renewing of your mind is the same word of repentance. Renew your mind. Change your thinking. Focus on Jesus Christ. And here is the big change that happens in the life of a person who follows Jesus Christ. As we have said before, originally we build our own kingdoms. And our focus is on me. Me. My. What I want. I am at the center of all that I do. And if somebody comes to Jesus Christ, the attention and my focus changes. I focus on Jesus. I focus on God and I say, "God, what You want. That's what is important in my life. I want to do what You want for me. I want to fulfill Your will. I want to fulfill Your purpose in life. And I know this life is truly better than the life that I've lived for myself, because this life has hope. I have hope. I'm not living for the here and now. I don't just live for the moment. I live for the future. I live for the future that I will live with Him forever." That's what repentance is, that I come to Jesus and say, "God, I'm wrong. I was wrong. And I will trust in You." And that's what leads us eventually now to baptism. Baptism is now that public declaration that that's what I have done. I have come to Jesus Christ. I have turned around and I focus my life on Jesus. I put my trust in Jesus. And now, if you allow me to say that, I come out of the closet and here I am. I am a new person. Things have changed in my life. I am now a follower of Jesus Christ, and I want everyone to know it's a public declaration of my inner states, of what changed in me. So what happens in baptism is exactly this kind of symbolic action. I die. And that's why often you'll find it talked about the water baptism as going into the water grave. So you're dunked into the water and you come out again because Jesus rose from the dead and you have new life. Or if you will, I have a new identity. I am a new person because now I am identified with Jesus Christ. I know that my sins are forgiven. I know that my past is dealt with. I am looking now into a future with Jesus Christ, and I want to declare this to everyone. And this morning we have the privilege of following 12 young people from among us into this kind of celebration. Those who are declaring this, what they have done, that they have turned their lives around, put their trust in Jesus Christ, and say, "Now I want you to know, all of us are here today and beyond, I am following Jesus Christ. From now on, I'm known as a follower of Jesus." No secret agents when it comes to following Jesus Christ. We're all public. We all follow Him and declare this publicly. We will, in a short while, follow them as we see short testimonies here on the screen. And then we'll see them baptized. We will have a short prayer as we introduce this ceremony. Those who are directly related to those who are baptized and are friends, you will leave as we pray, and the rest will stay here and watch on the screen what's going to happen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that You offer us new life. We thank you so much that we can truly start over again. No matter how messed up our life was, no matter what we have done, no matter how we are known before and what kind of a reputation we had, it doesn't matter. We come to you, Jesus, and you offer us new life, a new beginning, a new start. And we're so very thankful for that, Jesus. And we're thankful today for those 12 young folks who have done just that. They have finished with their old life, and they have put their trust in you, and they declare to all of us here today, I am a new person. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. My past is dealt with. I'm looking forward to a wonderful future with you. And as we watch this, Father, help us that it stimulates in us this desire to follow you, to follow Jesus with full dedication and with a full persuasion that we know that this is the best life we know to live. Father, we pray your blessings on all those who are going to be baptized. Pray that this will be a remarkable event in their lives so that they remember that forever. I'm yours and you're mine. And we thank you that we can celebrate it with them. Amen.
My name is Cassandra, and I've been coming to Grace Point since I was born. I'm getting baptized because I've had a lot of awesome changes in my life recently, and a lot of things have been working out for me that I'm incredibly grateful for. My relationship with God has grown a lot through all of this, and He's put some awesome people in my life to help me through that. Being baptized is something that we're called to do, and I'm ready to take this important step.
Sandra, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and your desire to follow Him all the days of your life, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Jackson Lutzer, and I've been going to Grace Point for 17 years, so I've been here since Mill Creek. I'm getting baptized because over the past 6 months or so, God has really made His calling known in my life. Through worship experiences, through camp, through the missions trip, just through the relationships I've had here at this church family, I really come to know what God has called me to. I've actively been trying to improve my faith over this past 6 months, and I've grown tremendously. Thanks to the church family, all those who supported me. So this baptism for me is just a public declaration of that. You guys can keep me accountable, that I can continue just to make active strides in my faith.
Jackson? Based on your profession of faith in Christ as your Savior and Lord, and your desire to follow Him all the days of your life, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Zach Lister, and I've been coming to this church. I've been born into this church, actually. I'm getting baptized because it's a public proclamation of my faith, and also it's a physical representation of me having been baptized in the Holy Spirit since I gave myself up to Christ and His plans rather than my own.
Based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and your desire to follow Him all the days of your life, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Tristan, and I've been coming to Grace Point for about 7 years. I'm getting baptized because I've seen my life both with and without Christ in it, and I just see how much better it is with Him in my life, and I want to devote the rest of my life to living through Him.
Tristan, because of your proclamation of faith and your public understanding of wanting to get baptized, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
My name is Tanner, and I've been coming to Grace Point for about 7 years. I came to a faith in Christ when my parents brought me to church when I was a baby, and I've come ever since. And I'm getting baptized because I feel like I'm at that point with Jesus where I've got to know Him a lot, and I want to show others that I believe in Jesus Christ.
Tanner, because of your proclamation of faith and your public announcement of wanting to get baptized, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Hi, I'm Lynn, and I've been coming to Grace Point since October 2017. I decided to get baptized because I wanted to share with my new family my commitment to my obedience in Christ.
Lynn? Because of your proclamation of faith and your public announcement of wanting to get baptized, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
My name is Robert Hall, and I've been coming to Grace Point Church for a little over a year. I'm getting baptized because I want to devote my life to Christ and accept Him as my Lord and Savior.
Rob, because of your proclamation of faith and your public announcement of wanting to get baptized, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
My name is Halvin Nicolaisen, and I've been going to Grace Point for 5 years. I came to a faith in Christ because all my life I've lived in a Christian home, and my parents have raised me in God, and so I've basically been a Christian all my life, and I decided that being baptized would be the next step.
Halden, because of your proclamation of faith and your public announcement to wanting to get baptized, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
My name is Dawson Kafer, and I've been coming to Grace Point since I was born. I'm getting baptized because I've committed my life to Christ, and I wanted to publicly share that with my church family and friends.
Dawson,
Because of your proclamation of faith and your public announcement of wanting to get baptized, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
My name is Ryan Caper, and I've been attending Grace Point Church since I was born. I'm getting baptized because I've made the decision to follow Jesus and his teachings, and also want to publicly declare the hope that I've found in Jesus Christ.
Ryan, because of your proclamation of faith and your public announcement of wanting to get baptized, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
My name is Nathan, and I've been coming to Grace Point for my whole life. For me, baptism shows that I'm willing to go and pursue my faith. I really hope that I can show to the whole church family that I'm very serious about this and I want to pursue this for the rest of my life.
Nathan, because of your proclamation of faith and your public announcement of wanting to get baptized, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
My name is Brennan, and I've been coming to Grace Point my whole life. I'm choosing to get baptized because I want to follow Jesus' command and let my old self pass away. I recognize he has called all believers to be baptized, and so I want to be proclaimed a disciple of Christ. To me, baptism means to bury our old self and to be reborn as a Christ follower.
Brennan, because of your proclamation of faith and your public announcement of wanting to get baptized, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I didn't count. I think that was it. So there was 12. Will you just pray with me for those who have been baptized, and also take the opportunity later on after the service just to go out to them, shake hands, give them a big hug, and encourage them in their journey with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for each and everyone who has declared publicly their faith in you. We recognize that this is a tremendous step of faith and of courage. And as they enter into this world as people who are your followers, we also know that this is not just an easy journey. But we pray for them that they will stand strong, that they will stand firm in their commitment to follow you, no matter where they find themselves and what kind of circumstances they face. Help them to be witnesses to what you have done in their lives so that others can see how great you are. And for us as a church family, God, we pray that we will surround them with our supports, with our prayers, that we will ask them ever so often how they're doing, and that we will just be there for them when they go through their different stages of life. Thank you again that we can celebrate baptism together here as a church family, and that this is a highlight for us, knowing that you are at work among us, that you do your work, and we pray for your continued work in the future as well. We pray all this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.